By some estimates, Americans commit more than a dozen felonies unknowingly each and every day. As of 2016, the U.S. federal government doesn't even keep tabs on how many federal laws are still in effect. At that time, it was nearly 5,000 laws on the books, and that's not counting laws at the state and local level. Now, if you want to take that even further, there was over 80,000 U.S. federal regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations, which for the most part, carry the full weight of the law. That being said, we have so many laws on the books that a good portion of them, a good majority of them, contradict one another. It's time for criminal justice reform. You know, it's sad when a man goes to prison for a sack of weed and gets more time than someone who was driving drunk and killed a family of four. And don't argue with me and say it doesn't happen. I worked for nearly 20 years in law enforcement and criminal justice, and I've seen it each and every day. The sentencing problems that we have in this country have created this boom, not only for government-funded prisons, but for private prisons. It is time that we have criminal justice reform. It's a hard sell. I get it. But look, just because an American does wrong, just because they go to prison and they do their time, should they lose their right to vote? Look, that's ass backwards. And it's not about being Republican or Democrat. It's about constitutional rights. You know, we talk about being a nation under God and how, and we preach about how God says to forgive one another, yet a man does his time in prison and we can't forgive. And then we wonder why he can't get a job, and we wonder why he returns to that criminal element to make money, and why that revolving door of the criminal justice system continues to spin out of control. Because we in America have created a system of throwing the key away. And we haven't even talked about mental health yet. Where in this country, over the last 40 years, upwards of 75% of mental health beds have been abolished in some areas. And what happens to these people? We throw them to the streets and they end up in our jails and our prisons. And then we want to blame the person and not us as a society.
Recorded in Rocket City, USA. No bullshit. Just real talk. And now, Deuce Conrad.
You know, it's time that we talk in depth about criminal justice in the greatest country in the world, these United States of America. It's a hot topic right now. And for the purpose of this episode, I feel that it is vital that we put aside our political and our social differences, that we come together not as conservative or liberal, Republican, Democrat, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, but as Americans, and that we discuss the future of this country. For more than 200 years, this country has been based upon the rule of law. And there is absolutely no doubt, I will not negate, nor will I debate the fact that our judicial system in the past has not been equal for some in this country. But I think it is important to understand that no matter how far we have come, the more that we legislate, the more we divide. And it's the truth of the matter. We have mandatory sentencing in this country that has created overcrowded prisons, and that is of great concern. You know, when I started in law enforcement in the early 2000s, the state that I lived in at the time The prison budget was $650 million a year. Today, it's over $1 billion. Now, I understand that we have to consider inflation, and I understand that we have to consider a rise in population. But I also have to say we have to take a look at what got us there. It's a combination of several things. One is that mandatory sentencing. Two, it is a lack of judicial discretion on the bench. And third, and I think most important, is that we have an issue with mental health in our country that is overrunning our prisons with folks that don't need to be in prison, but they need to be receiving some form of help, whether it's for addiction or whether it's for mental disorders, whatever that may be. But I just want to take a moment and let's talk for a moment about mandatory sentencing. This really got its beginnings in the 1990s with the three strikes, you're out law at the federal level, as well as at the state level. And I understand its purpose, and I think at the time that there was some good intention behind the three strikes out rule. We have to admit that there are individuals in this world that deserve to be in prison. And there are individuals in this world that deserve to be in prison for the rest of their lives. I don't think any of us would deny that. But on the same token, we have individuals who make mistakes. And perhaps they went down the wrong road or the wrong path. They got with the wrong folks, or perhaps they were raised in an environment where they didn't know any better. And that's not making excuses for those individuals. It's a sad reality. But that would be kind of like us saying, hey, I'm going to go to the doctor because I'm sick and I find out that I have cancer. And the doctor looks at me and says, well, we're going to do XYZ treatment because it's mandatory for every person, regardless of what stage of cancer you have or what form of cancer, we're going to do this. And as a result of that, when you look at the doctor and say, well, what is my probability of surviving cancer? And they're unable to give you any probability because it's a one-size-fits-all solution. There are individuals who can be reformed. There are individuals who need to do a little bit of hard time to set them on the straight and narrow way. But understand, this goes back to childhood, and if you were raised generations ago, whether you're a Gen X or a boomer or even for some early millennials, you probably heard all it takes is one bad apple to ruin the bunch. And your parents probably told you to choose wisely as to who your friends would be. If you've never stepped foot into a penal environment, into a penitentiary or a jail, I encourage you to take a tour. Reach out to your state prison or your local jail and see if they will give you one. And the reason I say that is because it is very much like walking into the gates of hell. Regardless of whether or not we want to admit it, there are rapists, murderers, and car thieves in prison. And I say those three because it is an environment of the worst and the not so bad. And when you're doing hard time, I don't care how hard you try not to allow it to affect you, it will. and you'll pick up bad habits. Now, growing up in the South, I get made fun of my accent from time to time. Now, I'm proud of my Southern accent, and I get it. Sometimes I mispronounce words, and sometimes people kind of laugh at me because of my Southern drawl. I also understand that that is just as much a part of my environment in which I was raised as it would be for someone with a New York accent growing up in the Bronx. Prison environment is no different. We have to have an environment to where our judges can once again have judicial discretion. You know, there was a time in this country where a judge could say, you know what, son, in lieu of you going to jail, you got an option. You can serve your country in the military, or you can do community service, or there's a whole range of things that you might be able to do in order not to go to prison. But now, we have made such a complicated legal system that it seems like the only thing that is fitting for the government to do is to imprison or fine, and sometimes a combination of both. It is almost like it's a racketeering operation, if you will, that there's no hope for those individuals. Now, a couple of things have happened in our judicial system over the last 50 years. It's just really made it impossible for you as an American to have due process. Now, understand, due process is your right. It's your constitutional right. You have a right as an American citizen for representation in court. And if you can't afford it, one will be appointed for you. But do this. Reach out to an attorney. Just ask them, hey, how much would you charge for a DUI case? How much would you charge to represent me in a murder case or an armed robbery case or whatever it may be? You pick it up, you pick the charge, and you make some calls. And I want to tell you right now, for the average American, it's unaffordable. It's unaffordable. So what happens? You go to court and you pray that the court will show some relief towards you, and that they will appoint a public defender. And that's just the beginning, because there's no guarantee that that public defender is going to do their due diligence to get you off. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because the judicial system is so overwhelmed. There's not enough public defenders out there. A lot of times they'll plea bargain on your behalf, and they will not fight for your innocence. You know what? Innocent until proven guilty is supposed to be a staple of our rights. But truth be told, it's no longer the case. And now everyone is presumed guilty until proven innocent. I don't know where that began. Maybe it began when states began to legislate that in order for you to be a judge, a sitting judge, that you had to be an attorney. Maybe we need to go back to the days, and I get it. I understand why that's the case, because the legal system is so complicated. Judges are bound by the rule of law. They're supposed to interpret the rule of law without prejudice. But is that always the case? Especially now when we have Republican and Democratic primaries for judges, and it's based on their political beliefs for them to get elected rather than their knowledge of the law. I don't know. It just seems horrible. And so we have folks that are going to prison that are innocent. Is it an overwhelming number? I don't know. I wouldn't say that. But I'm not going to deny the fact that it happens. And so these people's lives are destroyed. Their reputation is destroyed. And they have to live on the hope of prayer that they can get a good public defender to help them out in the appellate process. Which, by the way, is lengthy. It's complicated. And for the most part, folks give up. We have so many laws on the books now that the average American no longer knows what is legal or what is not illegal or what is not legal. In the last few weeks, it's been amazing here in northern Alabama as we have covered the Casey White and Vicky White saga. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Casey White was being held at a local jail here on capital murder charges, and he had developed a relationship with that particular jail's assistant director, Vicky White. She ended up aiding him in escaping, and they fled for 11 days before she took her own life and he was recaptured. But as we posted news updates and we posted stories related to this case, I finally quit responding to comments because it was very apparent that a good portion of our population has very little knowledge of what is the law. They base it on things that they've seen on television. They base it on what may be law in other jurisdictions. And I'm not blaming them for that. I'm blaming the system. Because as we mentioned in the intro, the average American will commit upwards of a dozen felonies unknowingly every day. And again, it goes back to this system of complicated rules and laws that it's almost as if we've created a system of entrapment. And the question remains, where do we begin in solving this problem? And I think, honestly, we need to start over from from scratch. We need to abolish what we have on the books. And that's going to be an ugly process, and it's not ever going to happen. But at the same time, I don't know how else that we can fix this without wiping the slate clean and starting all over and creating a new American criminal justice system.
Do you have a beard? It's a legitimate question. You know, a beard says a lot about a man. A beard can define a man just by looking at him. Screw what they say. You can judge a book by its cover, and a beard is one hell of a cover. But let me ask you this, how do you take care of your beard? Are you putting chemicals into your face that will basically eat the hide off of a zombie? Stop that shit. Be a badass and start using badass beard care. Look, it's all natural. It's made by badass vets. And it will make your beard so incredibly soft, so incredibly manly. And you can get a free trial set today by going to deuceconrad.com and selecting Own Promotions.
I remember a particular gentleman that his name was Michael, and I'll leave it at that, that I used to run across quite often. He's what you call a frequent flyer to the jail. Michael was schizophrenic, and when Michael was out of jail, he was unable to afford medication. And the reality is, Michael's family had abandoned him. He had no support system. And because of that, Michael's nature was impulsive. And when Michael got into a bind, Michael committed crimes. Michael was one of these individuals that you could literally force him to serve his entire sentence, and within sometimes days, if not hours, he would be back behind bars. he is what you call institutionalized. Because it was the one place that he felt safe. Because when he was on the streets, he had no support system. We talk about healthcare reform in this country, and it's a big topic, and I agree that's something else that we need to discuss. Now, how we as Americans pay for that, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of debate whether a universal system will work, whether the government needs to be involved. And I'm all for less government because I spent 20 years in government and I see how complicated it is. And I understand the red tape. You can't have a pizza party without going through four subcommittees. And then they, at the very last minute, decide that we're not going to have a pizza party. We're going to have an ice cream party. It's just how it is. And so you get a lot of Michaels that are out there that end up behind bars because there is no hope for them. And you say, well, that's where we rely on nonprofits, and that's where we rely on getting Michael help. There are not enough mental health providers in this country. It's fact. There are not enough mental health facilities in this country to deal with the mental health crisis that we have going on. We could do an entire show on what has caused that, from chemicals that the government has said is safe to put in our food and in our clothing, in our everyday items that we use, whether it be soaps or mouthwash or toothpaste, that we're now finding has a direct link to mental health issues, whether it be anxiety, whether it be ADHD, whether it be cancer. But yet we haven't funded mental health as it should be. The education, not only in the law enforcement and criminal justice system, it's there, but it's not extensive. But let me tell you this too. You walk into an average hospital on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and you see healthcare workers that are making fun of individuals that attempted suicide because it's their third or fourth stint there, and they want to say, hey, this person's just trying to get attention. Let me tell you something. For someone that has mental health issues, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It takes a lot of courage, and I say that word, courage, for an individual to try and take their life, because it's a very scary situation. And so when you go to a healthcare facility and there is no one there that wants to take you serious, nor do they want to take care of you because they already know that you're unable to pay, even though we say that in this country that healthcare should be provided to you if you can't pay or not, that's a joke. And even if they do keep you there, the bill is going to be so high that you're going to have to choose between housing or medicine. And in many cases, these folks become stressed beyond belief to guess what they do from there. They revert back to that impulsiveness and they commit crimes. They commit crimes in order to survive. And again, that is not making an excuse for that individual. It is a sad reality. We cannot expect our prisons to be mental hospitals. It's not the environment. These folks need real programming. These folks need real help. They need something that the American prison system cannot give them, and that is empathy and compassion. It is a medical issue. It is not a criminal justice issue. Now, for those individuals that are not facing mental health problems, we expect them to do mandatory sentences at the federal level or You know what? If they serve a mandatory sentence at the state level, but let's say they earn good time and they get out. They're reformed. They realize the error of their way. What do we expect them to do? Let's say Susie is paroled and she's going back home. Now, the state prison system says that she has to have a home plan and a job plan. Where is she going to find a job as a convicted felon? And I'm going to hear people say, they're going to say, well, she get a job at McDonald's. There's a lot of places she can go get a job. And most of these places are minimum wage. Now, there is a big discussion right now. And again, political differences aside, we know that minimum wage is not a living wage in this country. How is Susie supposed to provide for herself plus pay restitution? Because I'm going to tell you, she wasn't able to pay restitution while she's in prison. Susie statistically is going to have a harder time getting promotions in any workforce because Susie is a convicted felon. Now, to add insult to injury, because Susie is a convicted felon, Susie can no longer vote. We have basically said, you know what, Susie? You're not an American anymore. You don't have the right to vote. You don't have a right to affect change in this country because your voice no longer matters. And some of you are probably listening and saying, well, man, this guy's going liberal. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever driven more than 15 miles an hour over the speed limit? And don't lie, be honest. Because the vast majority of us have sped at some point in our life. Now, let me ask you this. While you were driving 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, what would have happened if a car were to have pulled out in front of you and you were to T-bone that car? Or what if you were to come up on a car and you couldn't stop and you rear-ended that car and the people in that vehicle were killed as a result of you hitting them? You, in all likelihood, would have been charged with vehicular homicide, with reckless driving. My point is that you have been one step away from prison time in your lifetime. The only difference between you and Susie is that Susie got caught and you didn't. We have to look at how we can reintroduce felons into society so that they become not only productive members of society, but that they can stay out of trouble once they get here. The truth of the matter is 90% of the people in prison right now will be your neighbor at some point. They're getting out of prison. There's a lot of people in this country that are going to get out of prison. And you will be interacting with them, whether it's shopping beside them at the mall, attending church with them, or working alongside them at your employer, your place of employment. We have to do better about providing opportunities for those that have screwed up, those that have been in prison. And I'm not saying that we give complete handouts, folks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to create a system of success to where they can do it on their own. And if they need a little help, they can get it. Otherwise, we can't complain about that revolving door of the criminal justice system. It's just the fact of the matter. Susie deserves, just like every one of us, the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is her God-given constitutional right just as much as it is for you and I.
Are you looking for unbiased news in a world of biased media? Look no further. 1440 provides an impartial view of what's happening in the world so our readers can form their own conclusions. 1440 scours hundreds of sources each and every day to bring you a single morning briefing thoughtfully curated by experts, straight to your email with no haggling or unnecessary spam. Get even more benefits by signing up to the Deuce Conrad Show affiliate link. Visit www.deuceconradshow.com and select promotions to sign up today.
You know, I remember one particular case vividly. And this particular case is one of many, actually, that are very similar. But I don't know, it hits close to home. And it haunts me to this day. This guy was getting out of prison. He had done his time. I think he did like 25, 30 years, something like that. I don't recall exactly what his sentence was for. It's not relevant. But he did 100% of his time. There was no good time taken off. This guy did 100% of his time. He's going home. No parole. He's done with his sentence. And I remember the look of just relief upon his face because he had made it. He had made it out of prison alive. And like many inmates that are leaving the system, he had all these great plans, and you know, you could only hope that those plans would come true, you know, that he would be able to be that success story. And I remember as they walked him out of the Sally Port of that prison, and that's Sally Port is two gates, and that's how you go in or out. This guy's thinking he's going home. Instead, we had to serve him with what's known as a CAPUS. It's a dead or alive warrant, which means it's a bench warrant from a judge. It says that he is to be brought before that judge. He is to be arrested on the spot. This guy was being charged on a child support order for arrears. Child support. This man had been in prison for 30 years. You do the math. That means, let's say his child was, you know, less than a year old. They've been out of beyond the age of 18 now for a good 12 years. But the state had held him liable for child support. They didn't give him an opportunity to get out of prison and get a job to pay back those arrears. No, they arrested him. Put him back behind bars because he had not made his child support payments. I say that because I'd mentioned earlier about judicial discretion. We have gotten to a point in this country where common sense is no longer common sense. How the hell do we expect this man to pay $200 a month, or I can't remember exactly how much it was in child support. Again, it's not relevant. When he made 15 to 20 cents an hour working inside of a prison. You can't expect that. You can't. This guy ends up doing time, and I'm The best I recall, it was like 6 or 7 months behind bars because, number one, he just got out of jail. He has very little support system. If I remember correctly, he had gotten into a halfway house because he had no family. So there's no one to bond him out. And I remember the judge saying, "You're not getting out of jail until you come up with this amount." And it was ungodly. It's like a $80,000 or $90,000 that he owed, not counting interest. Where is criminal justice being served effectively in a case like this? I don't see that happening. I just don't see it happening. It makes no sense. There was another guy that I came across during my career that had been wrongfully sentenced for murder. And this made national headlines for years as he fought to get out of prison. He was a lucky individual because he had some attorneys that worked pro bono. And he was actually exonerated and let out of prison. But his local judge didn't like what the appellate court had said, and he found another way to recharge him and send him right back to prison. So it took another 2 or 3 years for him to get back out of prison. And now that his sentence has been exonerated, he's fighting to have those charges removed from his record because that doesn't always happen when you're exonerated. The system's broke, folks. It's broke. When state statute says that a misdemeanor crime has a $50 or $100 fine, but you end up going to court, and you know what? You say, "Hey, Your Honor, I screwed up. I'd like to plead guilty. I'd like to pay my fine, and it's not ever going to happen again." And you're thinking it's only going to be $50 to $100, but then you have to leave the courtroom and go see the clerk. And the court fees are hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars. Or you are placed on probation, where in some states, probation at the municipal and county levels is handled by private entities, and they're allowed to charge exorbitant fees to manage your case file. It happens, folks. Going back to the state of Tennessee, because it's just north of us, there was a case out of Giles County, Tennessee, I believe Marshall County and Lawrence County, if I remember correctly, where a private probation company was sued in a class action lawsuit because, let's face it, they had stolen millions of dollars from probationers in fees that well exceeded court costs and fines. And to make things worse, they sent it to collection agencies. They put it on their credit bureau reports. And it was a money-making machine at the cost of these individual civil rights. I don't know what the answer is. But I think it's a couple of things, honestly. I think one, we as Americans must demand that civics be brought back into our schools and taught, not as an elective, but as a mandatory course. And I don't think that it should just be one class in your 4 years of high school. I think that we need to really focus on civics, whether it be integrated into American history classes or class all of its own. because our children need to understand their rights. We need to understand our rights. We have to understand the difference between executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. Because we have a problem right now with term limits in the legislature and a lot of our states, and especially on the federal level, where we have folks that are spending 40, 50 years legislating. They're doing this as personal vendettas in some cases. They're doing it on behalf of lobbyists. And that should never be the case. You know, our government was not intended to be as big as what it is now. I think that the other thing outside of that is that we no longer have full-time congressmen and congresswomen and senators or legislators. Make it part-time so that they're not there expecting to get a paycheck. And hopefully, it will eliminate some of the corruption. It's not going to eliminate it all. But they need to go back into their communities, and they need to be able to see what the average American is seeing. In the South, and it's not just here, it's all across the country, we have a problem right now with methamphetamine. And do you know why that is? Because it kind of goes back to that analogy we used earlier where, let's face it, there were some doctors that were going on that rule of thumb that we'll just treat everybody the same, and they were prescribing opioids and all sorts of pain medications. As a former law enforcement officer, I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of these individuals that we are seeing that are addicted to methamphetamine and harsher drugs, it's not because of marijuana. It's not. There are going to be those out there that's going to disagree with me. I'm telling you right now, it is not because of marijuana. We have caused this epidemic through prescription. And we're just now beginning to realize that one size doesn't fit all. And so the same should apply to a criminal justice system. Once we fix the legislative end, we need to fix the judicial end. Whether it be abolishing the standard for an individual to be an attorney, because sometimes I'm going to tell you the old farmer has a lot more damn common sense than the attorney. I don't know. Do we need to consider term limits for judges? Absolutely. I think we do. Do we need to abolish primaries? It's a strong consideration. I know there's going to be some folks going to fight me on that because of your political beliefs. Look, I'm as conservative as it comes. But if I vote for a judge, I want that judge to rule based on the letter of the law, not what the hell he believes politically. Or she, for that matter. Do we need to reform law enforcement? To my brothers and sisters that are still wearing the badge, there are a lot of you out there I know that's going to agree with me. And there are a lot of you out there that want to say what I'm about to say. It needs to be reformed. We have to do a better job of training our cops. We expect entirely too much of them. We have made them not only enforcer of the law, but we've made them mental health crisis counselor. We have made them father figures and mother figures. We have made them teachers. We have made them social workers. And it's not their job. We have militarized our law enforcement to the point that it has become an us against them mentality, and that is wrong. I was proud to put my badge on for the very first time. And trust me, I was like any other new officer. I went through that gung-ho period where, look, everybody's going to get locked up. But then I soon realized that you can't treat everyone the same. My job was not as a law enforcer, but as a public servant. Not everybody deserved to be locked up. Not everybody deserved to be issued a summons. Not everybody deserved to be treated the same. Sometimes a good talking to, as we say here in the South, was all it took. But now, officers are damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they don't enforce the law, they're going to get sued. If they enforce the law, they're going to get sued. We have created this system of complexity that I don't know if it's reversible without wiping the slate clean. What I do know is that we have become a nation that is no longer for the people and by the people. We have become a nation of you do as I say, not as I do.
Acorns is the leading micro investing app in the United States. It's easy to use. Mobile-first technology makes it simple for anyone to set aside and invest life spare money. Acorns allows customers to automatically invest in a low-cost, diversified portfolio of exchange-traded funds offered by some of the world's top asset managers, including Vanguard and BlackRock. Customers grow their wealth in one of five portfolios constructed with help from world-renowned Nobel Laureate economist Dr. Harry Markowitz. Acorn's smart portfolio algorithms automatically work in the background of life, helping users build wealth naturally, pennies at a time. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow. Hey, I'm using Acorns, and I love how easy it is to save and invest for my future. Join me, and you'll get a free $5 investment. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select the promotions link, and from there, you can sign up directly with Acorns.
Look, here it is. It's just the fact of the matter. Our country is in a downward spiral. And if you go back and you look at history, history statistically repeats itself. Every great empire has fallen at some point. It's facts, folks. And I am concerned that this great nation of ours is on the verge of collapse. We want to get out and we want to fight over whether we wear a mask or we take a damn shot. We want to scold our neighbor for not doing as we think that they should. We want to criticize others and bully them on social media because we have the protection of a screen between us. And the fact of the matter is, we need to be in the streets not protesting social justice, and higher wages, and all these things that we've been bickering over for the last 200 years or more. We need to be protesting our government because we can't fix all of that until we fix our government, until we fix criminal justice, until we fix how the laws are made in our country and how we as sheep are led. We can't fix that until then. Gun control has been a great debate now for some years. And I'm as pro Second Amendment as it comes. You can legislate gun control, you can make it as strict as you want to, but it's not going to solve it. It's just not. What we need to be concerned with is mental health. Until we fix mental health in this country, until we take away that stigma, until we provide opportunities for folks to be able to get the help that they need, until we start, and I hate to say this, folks, because I understand that you're going to say, oh, hell no. We have to start legislating some form of morality in this country. And I'm not talking biblical, but we need to have some basics of morality of what's right and what's wrong. Something that we can all agree upon. And like I said, keep it basic so that it doesn't change every damn day. Then we can talk about gun control. Then we can talk about resolving crimes in this country. But none of that gets taken care of until we fix our government. Let me ask you, how many folks do you know that have done time in prison or jail? Maybe it was you. But let's say it's not you. Did you love them? Was it an individual that hurt you so bad that you couldn't love them? Because there's going to be those situations. Do you have kids? Do you love your kids? Even when they hurt you the most? We all do. We have to become a nation once again that loves one another. We have to have common sense and understand that we're not always going to agree with each other, politically, socially. But we have to get along with one another. Racism is taught. Our kids pick up on it. Hatred towards one another is taught because our kids pick up on it. When our kids see a system like what we have right now, where there's no hope, what do we expect? Do we expect them to think that there is hope in our judicial system for them? No, we don't. We can't expect them to believe that. We just can't. So, where do we move from here? That's the million-dollar question. Where do we move on to from here? Well, we have to be kind of careful because we will be labeled in this society as insurrectionist or as conspiracy theorist. But we have to start on a grassroots scale of changing the mindsets of our neighbors, our family, our friends, our loved ones. And we have to build that consensus upward until it is an unstoppable force of wrecking. And I think we have very little time to do this before it's too late. Until next time, I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Deuce Conrad Show on Spotify Podcast. In case you didn't know, you can also hear this podcast on Google Podcast and Apple Podcast and most podcast platforms across the web. For more information about tonight's show, you can also visit www.deuceconradshow.com. Visit show notes for more details.